Hi, I'm Dr. Fidelio, and this is Go Beyond Greatness, Season 2, Episode 2. Today, I have the awesome pleasure of introducing a fabulous friend of mine. Not only do we share the same birthday, May 10th, we share the same love of constantly learning and growing. She's a brilliant techie and contributes her love of blending science and technology every single day. She's an educator by day and visionary ninja by night. The founder of High Five Science and Light Up Literacy. She's the very definition of going beyond greatness. Her name is Alejandra Guzman. Welcome, Ale! Thank you for joining.
Hey, thank you. Happy to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. So first things first, how did you make your way into the education industry? I love stories like this.
Yes, so I'm a little bit of an oddball out in terms of education, as it was not my primary choice of career. I decided early in high school in ninth grade that I had a passion for science, and so I took lots of advanced science classes, and so I knew I wanted something to do with science. Initially, I wanted to be a veterinarian, and so I was lucky enough to work with a vet in a summer. One summer I worked at a pet hotel, and then the next summer when I got a little bit older, I worked with a vet, and I'm so glad I did, because I realized that that's not what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, even though I loved animals.
Yeah.
And so that was a very powerful experience for me. When I moved on to college at Trinity University in San Antonio, I had decided at that point in time that I was very much interested in marine science. And so again, I was very blessed between my senior year and my first year of college to go to Belize with Texas A&M and one of their summer high school programs. And that's where I really found out that I already knew that I had a love for the ocean, but it really kind of solidified the deal. And so I wanted to do science. So I did get a major in biology with a minor in environmental studies. I knew that science was somehow in my future. And so when I started my master's program at Texas A&M, I was fortunate enough to do my thesis work on sea turtles. And so it was a very good, yes, it was super fun, super cool. A lot of people don't know that about me, but it was very much a perfect fit for me and what I liked. And it was just a really great experience. And so probably about my first semester that I was actually in Galveston, my professor had to go out of town and he asked me to give a lecture for him. And this was like a big deal for a first year grad student to give an official lecture, like an auditorium style lecture to students. And it was on the evolution of mammalian kidneys. I'll never forget it.
Wow.
Of all things, when I was standing up there and presenting this information to these, you know, freshman undergraduates, I found out that I had a passion for education. And surprisingly enough, that moment in time on that stage is when my educational fire was lit, per se. And I knew that somehow education was going to be in my future. And so I'm very lucky that throughout my years in education, I've been able to blend my love for science along with my passion for education.
Oh my gosh, that is like so beautiful, because oftentimes we have like our passions. In your case, it's science, and you're doing both, like you're bridging that and sharing it, sharing what you love to other students and colleagues like me. What is one of the biggest misconceptions about science?
So the biggest conception that I can see is people think of science as a lab and test tubes and all this data and this graphing and these very hard, complicated things. And when we really break down science, science to me is the process of asking questions and finding answers to those questions, which in its basic form is really the scientific method. And so science is all around us. We do it every day, whether we think of it or not. To me, that is probably the biggest misconception, is that science is everywhere, literally, and it's not difficult. It doesn't have to be about a science topic per se. It can be about a personal topic or about a finances or health or really anything. It's very applicable to any real world situation. And one of the biggest I guess, problems that I see coming from a secondary science background, which I want to push with all my science peeps out there, mm-hmm. is the importance of labs and inquiry-based learning and hands-on activities with our students, because I see so much in the secondary classrooms that we tend to focus on teacher-centered instruction and lots of lectures and notes and PowerPoints, but realistically, that's not how we learn. And, you know, we need to have these learning experiences and these fun labs that these students will never forget.
I remember being in high school and taking chemistry AP, and it was a filled class of like 25, 30 kids. And it was my sophomore year. And I remember because it was AP, kids were like either in it to win it or like out. And so some of the kids stayed behind and some took off to other classes. And I stuck with it. I remember telling my mom and dad, I'm like, I can't do it, it's so hard. You know, it's just so difficult to wrap my mind around it. I mean, I loved physical science. I loved biology, but the chemistry component was just so tough for me to like knack in my head. And my mom and dad were like, just stick with it, stick with it. And I remember like failing like an exam, and my dad was like, well, that's good. I was like, oh, well, like the experiment didn't work. And he was like, that's fine. And I remember talking to the teacher, and he was also a professor at, I think, UTPA at the time, now UTRGV. And he was like, that's okay. That's okay. It didn't work out. It's all right. And I'm like, but it didn't work out. And he's like, it's an experiment. Some things aren't going to work out. Some things are not going to solve overnight, you know? And I immediately grasped the concept of experiments aren't solved right away. You know, they're solved over time. Yes. So that was really cool.
Yeah. So it, to me, it's like every day is a new experiment.
Mm-hmm. Has science changed over the years, or have we as humans changed? Because I do feel like science is becoming more at the forefront because of the STEM movement, the STEAM movement. Now there's even a STREAM movement. But I do think that science is obviously there at the forefront, and we're seeing it more. So has science changed over the years, or have we as humans changed in the way we see science?
So that's a great question, and I think it's actually both. Since I am a biology teacher at heart, evolutionarily speaking, our brain has changed. Humans have changed over time. The brain capacity has gotten larger, as we can see in all the new innovations and the new technology that have occurred over time. But at the same point, the way that we see science has also changed, because I think we are in a part of society where we understand the importance of science, of that hands-on learning, as I was explaining, those inquiry, curiosity-based activities that are very, very crucial for our students, our children's development, along with their critical thinking skills and their collaboration skills. And so I think that we have more of a lens where we are making those connections now. So we're kind of reviving science in itself and the importance of it, starting at a very, very early age. I think that's super important. So again, I would see both of them are changing for the good in terms of science and technology.
Wow. So tell me all about your TED-Ed experience. It looked like so much fun.
It was so much fun. It was such a wonderful experience. So I'm very thankful to TED and the TED-Ed program. It actually all started with a tweet. And my boss, who I currently work under right now, she sent out a tweet just to her Twitter feed that said, you know, you should apply. And it wasn't just directly intended for me, but I took it as it should have been intended for me. And so I didn't know anything about TED. I knew about TED Talks, but I had no idea that they had a whole educational platform called TED Ed, which is a free resource to all teachers. And so I went ahead and applied. You know, when you do apply, you have to have a project. And I didn't know, I feel like I had a lot of ideas. I didn't know what they were looking for. So I put three projects just in case.
Uh-huh.
And then I got called in for an interview, a video interview, and they wanted to learn more about my project. And the one that I ended up doing eventually was the Light Up Literacy Project. But through that, I did a lot of professional development online. I got to meet people from all over the world. I got to go to New York City twice to see one of their TED-Ed summits and one of their TED-Ed clubs weekends. They sent me to Vancouver for a week, and I got to go to the TED conference, which was amazing and mind-blowing.
Wow.
Which nobody would probably ever be able to afford. So again, I was very thankful to even be a consideration. So I was an innovative educator in the third cohort. They chose 36 of us from across the world. And out of those 36, they had chosen only two to go to that TED conference in Vancouver. So I was blessed multiple times, and it was just such a wonderful opportunity. Yes.
Oh my gosh, that is huge.
Yeah, it was pretty crazily huge.
So for the people that don't know what Light Up Literacy is, I have a shirt right here. Can you talk about what it is and how schools can take part?
Yes, so Light Up Literacy is a 20-day challenge that either a teacher, a campus, or a school district can take on. It's a very general calendar that really focuses on different aspects of literacy. So trying to get our students to read and write more in any content, in any grade level. So every day there's a specific activity that can be done, such as, you know, using a graphic organizer to compare and contrast something, or writing a 1-minute paper to sum up your learning for today. So very short, easy things that can be done. And they basically tweet out or show evidence through either Twitter or Instagram or any social media platform. And so I'm able to keep track of that. When we did it in our district, we were able to provide prizes. And so it was like a little competition, a friendly competition between campuses. So it's pretty neat. Little idea that got started and eventually blossomed throughout our district and some surrounding campuses.
That is so, so cool. I think that literacy is such a vital component in learning. You have like the digital literacy. You have to be able to read and be fluent and be aware of all the different things that are out there so that you can process them. So yeah, that is awesome. Light it up, literacy. Yeah. Okay, so now I have a really fun part of my podcast that I'm really enjoying, and it's a fun rapid round of questions. And so you have to answer these questions as quickly as you possibly can. And are you ready?
Yes!
Bum, bum, bum. That's my background music. texting or talking?
Talking.
Favorite day of the week?
Saturday, for sure.
Would you rather be able to speak every language in the world or be able to talk to turtles?
Even though turtles are my favorite, I think I would prefer the people over turtles, so I'm gonna say every language here.
Awesome. Invisibility or super strength?
Definitely superpowers.
Is it wrong for a vegetarian to eat animal crackers?
No, because they don't really look like the animals anyways.
I know, some of them are really deformed, but it's okay, I still eat them. last but not least, Alejandra Guzman is on Twitter at aguzmanscience, and you can find her online at highfivescience.com. That's high five, spelled out, science.com. Ale, thank you so much for taking time to join my podcast today. You're definitely going to have to come back. You're going to have to come back.
Thank you so much. It was fun.
Alrighty. Until next time. Bye.
See you later. Bye.